Hour number deuce here. If you missed any of the first hour of the Firm of Harris Meringue, you can download that, The Fan Podcast, 1051thefan.com, the Odyssey app, wherever you get yours. If you missed Dirt and Sprague this morning, you can jump on there. They have launched the Dirty Poll, the famous Dirty Poll. If you want to catch that, go back and listen. I believe Texas Tech was the stop today. Go back and listen to that wherever you get your podcast. Give Casey about 10-15 on this program, and he'll have our first hour up. And if you can't wait, well, you can rewind, fast forward on the Odyssey app or the YouTubes, just not in the future, for that's impossible. Brian Dunseth of MLS Apple TV will join us here in about 10 minutes or so. We'll talk a little Timbers. They're on the road against LAFC this weekend. As Stevie Brackets asked me yesterday, is it time to start betting on the Timbers? Now, I'm not a gambler, nor do I necessarily condone gambling, but I think this weekend here game is going to show a lot of what this new Timbers team is going to look like. We'll have Web Gems up this hour as well. But I've heard a lot of talk, Casey, as we're getting closer and closer to the NFL season, about windows. Dan Campbell came out and had something to say about that. I believe he said something like, yeah, we still have our window. We're still good to go. And I think it's easy for us to fall into the concept, and I think there's a lot of validity to it, that windows are kind of short in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Depends on when you got to pay your quarterback. That's the infamous thing. Once you pay your quarterback, it's really hard to win a Super Bowl. Or you need to win with a loaded team and a quarterback that's on a friendly deal, say a Sam Darnold. But I almost want to look at the world like there is no window in the NFL. Because I feel through one or two good drafts and a good free agent class, you can get there. We're learning that you don't have to have Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, or Josh Allen to win a Super Bowl, because last time I checked, none of them have.
And last time I checked, the team that won the Super Bowl last year, I don't think anyone predicted them even having a window.
Correct.
That's what I find interesting.
Correct. Now, there are teams when you're looking at, there are teams that are in win now mode,
mm-hmm.
but I think we should probably start separating win now from windows. The Rams are in a win now mode.
Yep.
But let me tell you what, outside of a couple years, when have they not had a window since Sean McVay's been there?
I think they've always been in that window.
Right. And as long as Patrick Mahomes is the quarterback in Kansas City, they're going
to be in that window.
A window. Yeah. But see, again, back to the Joe Burrows, and I'll even throw the Jordan Loves in there, you know, and Caleb Williams might be one of these guys. CJ Stroud's definitely been in the playoffs a decent amount.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Herbert's got to get over that bump. But who are the last quarterbacks to win the Super Bowls? Okay, Mahomes, Brady, Jalen Hurts.
Sam Darnold.
Look, everybody wants to bury Jalen Hurts right now, and he may be an overrated quarterback. I'm not the biggest Jalen Hurts guy in the world, but he's won a Super Bowl.
He's got one of them once.
So is Sam Darnold. So we're living in a world, yeah, Matt Stafford's got one. Okay, yeah, that's an elite guy. Mahomes, elite guy. Tom Brady, elite guy. You know, those are kind of our last winners. But the idea, I mean, I thought Seattle was going to be really good last year. And going through the season, they started knocking off some wins. And I was like, this Seahawks team is actually kind of pretty good. I'm actually kind of really into this.
Holy catfish!
And then now we get to a point where it's not a window anymore for them. Now we're looking at John Schneider. Now we're looking at Les Snead. Now we're looking at John Lynch. We're looking at Buffalo. That these guys are now at a point where they refuse to say there isn't even a window, because we are always going to be in this window. When was the last time you saw the Packers draft in the top five?
I can't think. It was in...
The last time I remember the Steelers drafting in the top 10, they drafted Ben Roethlisberger.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are teams, there are organizations that are like, we don't have down years. Look at the Patriots.
The Steelers drafting in the top 15 one time in my lifetime.
Look at the New England Patriots, okay? It hit the side of a mountain with Belichick. It was over. It was done. And everybody's like, oh my God, how long is this going to take? Well, they hired a coach. It was a bad idea. They got rid of him. Brought in Mike Vrabel. Had a high draft pick. Took a quarterback they hit on. We're in the Super Bowl. Sure, they didn't win. And yes, I think they're going to take a step back this year. But I don't think their window is open or closing. I think there are teams that just have consistent windows that aren't painted shut. Okay, the Browns windows, they're painted shut. You can get them open, but man, it's going to take some screwdrivers. It's going to take chipping some paint. It might mess up the structure of that window to get that thing open, but you can get there. There are ones that are just like...
See, that's the one where I'm going to push back on, because I think just different from the NBA, there are more I say there are less teams in the NFL that can have windows. Because if one team has a window, well, obviously the team in your other teams in your division, their window starts to shrink.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that in the NBA, there's a lot of, well, we have maybe 20 teams that got windows. The other 10, they're maybe playing just for seeding this, that, and the other. In the NFL, everyone has a window until they don't. And I think that, I don't know, that's what makes the NFL fun and competitive, because you get teams that understand where their window is. And even if it's not this year, that's when by the end of the year, you start seeing people going, okay, I don't want to be drafting in the top 10, or I do want to be drafting in the top 10. How do I fare out in this division? I guess I'm just more of the NFL's got a lot less dynasty in the sense. I think that teams can run it back, but it's also just a lot more difficult to run it back.
I think it's awesome that you brought up the NBA, because there are definite windows in the NBA. It's so superstar dependent. It's so bench depth dependent. It's so you almost have to be bad at some point or sucker somebody into a deal to be able to get your window open.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right, in the NFL, let's take the Arizona Cardinals, for example, all right? Dumpster fire, right?
Can you say that they truly have a window?
No.
Can you say that the Miami Dolphins have a window?
No, but hear me out on this. What if Carson Beck hits? Okay? What if Jeremiah Love does play like Adrian Peterson? You got a tight end. You're still not going to win a lot this year. What if you find yourself in the top five again and you draft that kid out of LSU for your line? Okay? You go out and Marvin Harrison does take a step as a wide receiver. You go out and get a Vita Vea, you know?
We saw how quickly the New England Patriots jumped from a three-win team to a AFC championship winner.
And that's what I'm kind of saying, is like a couple drafts. Now you got to hit, and it's easier said than done. But a couple drafts, a little free agency, and the right coach, hi Mike Vrabel, boom, you're in the Super Bowl. So there are definitely levels of windows. Okay, the window for the Chiefs is not as big as it once was, but I don't know if they have a window. I think it's more about, it's like, is this trail dusty? Are there branches overgrowing into the trail? Or is this concrete path that's monitored with streetlights?
How many potholes do I got to fill in this path?
Right, right. And I would argue the Rams, the Niners, the Seahawks, even teams that haven't had a ton of success of late, your Steelers, the Packers, they have paved walkways. Now, they don't always get through them.
Mm-hmm.
There might be a houseless guy there to stop you. You might get mugged on the way. And Micah Parsons tears his knee. You know, you might have some issues, but those aren't windows. They're always willing to go.
Again, the wheels might fall off the track.
Sure.
But the track's still good.
Yeah, you might hit a stick and fly off into the bushes, but that's not because the path wasn't there. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting too hippy-dippy on this. I just feel like you can win in the NFL if you want to. And the reason the Browns window is painted shut is because there's no window to begin with.
I think you're right there.
But if the Miami say the Miami Dolphins have the worst team in the NFL this year, which I think they will.
Mm-hmm.
If they draft Dante Moore number one, and they find another way to get back in the first round, and some of this youth talent pays off, you get the right coach in there, you start investing in that offensive line, they can turn it around in 3 years. There's a long, hard path for Trevor Lawrence, but if Josh Allen doesn't don the cape, Jacksonville wins a playoff game last year. It can happen. Okay, the Bears have been relevant in my life for like 3 seasons of my entire life. I was born in 85, but Super Bowl already happened before I was born.
They space out a lot of their windows.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They are on a way that they could be something good right now. Hell, dude, the Jets, we gave them an A for their draft. Their defense is going to be good.
They've gone to an AFC championship in my lifetime.
They have. I think they've been to two. So it's like, I just hold back on the window conversation. And I think to myself, everybody's got a chance. Let's dive into some MLS here. We'll have Brian Dunsett join us. MLS Apple TV. We'll take a peek at the Timbers as they take on LAFC this weekend. We'll do it next. That's Casey. I'm Patrick. 105.1 The Fan. Timbers will take on LAFC tomorrow on the road in Los Angeles. Kick at 7:30. Pregame coverage starts at 6:30 right here on The Fan. Adam Sussman leading you into the program with Aaron Heinsohn and Fletcher Johnson on the call. Let's bring in Brian Dunseth of MLS Apple TV. Brian, thank you for joining us, man. I appreciate you. How are you this week?
I'm fantastic, my man. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I don't know if you've noticed, but this Portland Timbers team has become a little feisty over the last few days, especially coming back from World Cup break.
Yeah, I think a lot of that has to do with Velder, right? He's the type of guy that you absolutely despise playing against, but for some reason you absolutely love when he's on your team. And what I love about him is that from day one, there's a sense of urgency. I mean, there's the competitiveness and the urgency and the willingness to battle, but it's almost like he has to manufacture this moment of confrontation. Mm-hmm. But like, all right, bro, I'm going to take you. I'm going to eat you alive. I'm going to light your tail on fire for the next 70 minutes. So right now the rumors, or at least the whispers around Kelsey and whatever that looked like in the past 10 days. And then on top of that, Marty Cifuentes, the new manager, a couple of new faces, a couple of different ideas, and probably most importantly, an opportunity to compete. And I think in particular, you're seeing Ariel Lassiter really thriving in this role that he's having right now in the run of the team. But yeah, it's a good time. And I think even in the feat on the road in Chicago, where there's obviously some mistakes, you're seeing a team that, whether it's physical rejuvenation or psychological rejuvenation, it seems as if the decision to move on from Phil Neville was the correct one for the Portland Timbers.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I want to go. Look, everybody loves Phil. Like, Phil is a great interview. He's really good with the media, especially with us locally. But it seemed like the course had run it, and it was time to kind of move on. When you look at Marty Cifuentes coming in, Jack Caston in the interim, is it a new coach bump that we see from time to time? Or do you think there's something about Jack and now Marty that has found something that maybe Phil couldn't unlock with some of these players?
Yeah, let me be very clear, because I get nervous in this conversation because sometimes I get accused of, out the baby goes out with the bathwater when you make moves like this. Having been a player in this league and having played for God how many knows different managers, everybody does it differently. And that doesn't mean it's good. That doesn't mean it's bad. At the end of the day, these managers, much like Gio, will look back and have kind of this tenure of a time where we're like, yeah, I really liked him, but, or hey, man, incredible human being, but, it'll happen with Marty at some point down the line, right? I mean, look at what's happening with Pep Guardiola and Man City, and now we're getting to see behind the scenes with their new doc and everything that's happening with Enzo and all the now players kind of moving around. So it's never 100% perfect. There's always some type of adversity. It could be managing up or managing down. And the reality is that it's always going to be a struggle because how do you keep your general manager and your ownership group happy? And at the same time, keep in a group of players that are responsible for your livelihood as their coach and setting a tone where everyone's equal and accountable and you're all pulling in the same direction. After a certain amount of time, things get fractured and there's decisions that need to be made because it's easier to change the coach and the coaching staff than it is, on the long-term contracts and the depth of some of these rosters. So I think what I've always experienced as a player is that whether you're an absolute starter with a manager going out or you are a fringe player that hasn't seen a lot of minutes, that's just super pissed off with your situation, at the end of the day, you're starting from scratch. And Jack's going to be the feel-good factor. It's going to be very simple. Come in, everybody's happy. Let's Roddy Raw, pat on the back, a little smack on the butt. But now Marty's got to set the tone. And whether you talk about experience in Hammerby, you talk about experience at QPR, you talk about experience at Leicester City, good, bad, ugly. The philosophy of Jordi Cruyff, the Cruyff disciple, and La Masia idea of Spanish Barcelona type football. All of these things mean new training habits, new expectations, new competition. And I think in midseason, a lot of the time, that's a really, really good thing, dependent upon if you have the right group and you pick the right players.
He's Brian Dunseth of MLS Apple TV. And Brian, you kind of teased a little bit that Kevin Kelce situation. And, you know, we don't want to speculate too much on it, but you're the Portland Timbers right now. You're sitting in ninth place. You're on 27 points. There's a lot of nice momentum going. The schedule is going to get tougher, but there are some nice spots in there. You're basically two wins out from hosting a playoff game. We don't know the full extent of the Brandon Bae injury. It looked bad. We can pray for the best, but it looked bad when I watched it the other night. The Kevin Kelce rumors. Look, you're already kind of thin at right back with Juan Mosquera out for the year. Pipe Mora has been moved on. How does a team like this approach a transfer window when you have an opportunity to maybe make some noise, but they might want to spend a bunch of money on one of your guys, but now you've lost depth somewhere else? How does this team navigate through this? If you're Ned Grabovoy, what are you trying to do?
Oh, you got to hope that you've had a laundry list and the communication and the relationships are already in play and you've done your due diligence, not only on the players that you're interested in, but as importantly, I think, going and talking to the strength and conditioning coach, go talk to the nutritionist, go talk to the rehab specialist, go talk to the team admin, because that's going to give you a much more realistic look at the person, not just the player. Because I think MLS has also jumped the shark. Gone are the days where you can just reach out to an agent and be like, give me your best player. Now you got to go into the details, and the devil is absolutely in the details, as you guys have seen up close and personal. Like, when you're bringing in a guy, is he married? Is he single? Is there issues behind the scenes that we're unaware of? Is there a child being left behind in the country in which he's departing and coming? Like, can he settle in quickly? Does he speak English? Does he not speak English? How do we have to help outside of the game? Because ultimately, the player's happiness and full focus is going to be the most important. And you want to bring good dudes into the locker room. And everyone's going to do it differently, right? I mean, it can't be much more apparent than Evander's departure and David Da Costa coming in. Two extraordinarily talented players, two players that are hybrids of the same position and yet drastically different with the way that they play. So all those things are challenging. If it's still the Ned that I know, he'll have an identifiable list of guys that are interested in. But in a similar aspect, and I can use Xavier Goso out in Salt Lake, that was a surprise to get that deal done over the line, because at some point the money talks. Just did the game the other night in Colorado against LAFC, and Rafael Navajo, you got a cryptic post and you got rumors around Vasco da Gama. So it's not just a Portland Timber, Glasgow Ranger, social media whisper about Kevin Kelce. And I'm not surprised, right, with his player profile, his age, and right now on an absolute terror of a run in the last 3 months, that clubs around the world would be interested in his services. But you kind of point out to a really unique dynamic, and I think people are sometimes forgetting this is the last time this schedule is in play for Major League Soccer.
Yeah.
It's going to change drastically, adjusting to the world's window. In the sprint season, and then aligning with everything else. So, I'd be fascinated to be a fly in the wall in those conversations between Ned and his group, and Merritt, and ultimately what the decisions are looking like. Because the reality is that while MLS is still nimble and growing, and players will always have the affinity for playing Tuesday and Wednesday night, which is Champions League football, which means you can't do that in South America, you can't do that in Africa. You can't do that over in Saudi Arabia. That means you got to be on that European continent. And that means monopoly money could be at your doorstep for a couple of your players, and that could significantly disrupt what you're trying to do. And maybe that's the brilliance in signing Vincent Janssen the moment that they did.
Brian, let's flip this to the Timbers' opponent, LAFC. A very vocal fan base these days.
Very angry fan base.
Very angry fan base. High expectations in LAFC. I mean, they're kind of one of the diamond clubs. We get a little lucky up here in Portland, despite being a small market club. Merritt Paulson has always strove for excellence up here. Things have turned for them a little sour. What is it that when you see them, because you said you had their game against Colorado, what is it that you're seeing from them that is creating such struggles? Because on paper, this team's kind of loaded.
Yeah, it's really been the last two games. Tio Max and I, Max Bredos, Uncle Max is what I call him.
That's okay. We love Max here. Like, Max is an awesome friend of this program.
He's such a good dude, man. Talk about salt of the earth. Just a side note, I've called over 1,000 games with Max from the days of the old Fox Soccer Channel.
Yes.
And I am the luckiest guy in the business that Maxie and I are best friends. We love hanging out. We love our time in Portland. We love just the city and the atmosphere of the stadium. We love heading up there. Anyways, I digress. We've done the last couple LAFC games. You know, we did the RSL game where they smashed them down at home. We did the Chivas game where I thought they were excellent. Then we did the San Diego game a week ago. And, man, San Diego did to LAFC at BMO Stadium what LAFC is used to doing to virtually everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go to Colorado, and it's kind of similar, where it's like transition. It's defending strong, but, you know, transition moments. Denny Bolonga, Sung Hyung Man, blah, blah, blah. There's a couple things at play. I think when you look back at that Colorado game, Colorado didn't participate in Leagues Cup, so they've only played four games. LAFC was playing their eighth game. There's rotation. There's expectation. They fell up short, like Portland, in advancing in the Leagues Cup. And so all of a sudden, on top of that, you combine that with, you know, kind of John Thorington and Mark Dos Santos doubling down on the idea of distancing themselves from the style of play underneath Steve Cherundolo was exceptionally successful. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden saying, well, we want the ball. We want to be the team that takes it to the opponents. Well, when you say that, that's music to the ears of the LAC supporters. But when San Diego has 70% possession in the first half and has created many goal-scoring opportunities, all of a sudden there's like that sense of urgency where it's like, well, are we just going to sit and absorb and try to keep a clean sheet and just transition? Or are we good enough to actually move teams around? And a lot of that has to do with the press and the front three, and are you defending zones or you really attacking the ball? All of these things. So, yeah, right now it's a turbulent time online. Social, it is aggressive. Oof. And LAFC is in dire need of putting in a really strong performance at home. I don't think the lineup will look – well, I mean, they started Abobase, they started Schaffelberg, and they started Boyd at Colorado. That was a clear indication that fatigue, both mental and physical, was an issue for Mark Dos Santos and LAFC the other night. But I expect, you know, full strength, and hopefully sooner rather than later they get Igor Jesus back in the mix after he showed as a defensive midfielder. He was one of the best in MLS, and they need to get him back on track after recovering from this ACL injury.
It's Brian Dunseth of MLS Apple TV. Brian, I'll ask you one more question and let you get out of here. I know you got a busy day in front of you. Looking around at the rest of Cascadia, you know how near and dear this rivalry is to us up here. Boy, how things change real quickly when you get out of the World Cup, huh? Vancouver now living in a life of post-Sebastian Berhalter, which despite Vancouver being a rival of the Portland Timbers, I was really excited about the future Berhalter in the MLS. And then the other reality is what's going on in Seattle. Look, LA fans might be as mad as they are about LAFC. They sit in third place on the table. The Sounders have lost eight in a row and look just lost. What can you tell us about what's going on up there? Because I can't even describe it anymore.
Yeah, I'll start with Seattle. listen, they might not want to hear this. This is probably music to Portland fans' ears. The reality is they're not the same club that was spending money on Obafemi Martins and Clint Dempsey and Nico Ladero and Raul Ruiz Diaz. It's a different team. And Garth and Adrian at the time were spending money, COVID. Obviously, the acquisition of the Reign, you've built an outstanding training facility. And in the midst of, and this is more a bigger conversation, but in the midst of, you know, expansion slowing down, I think the next phase is multi-billion dollar investment with multi-billion dollar owners. I mean, out here in Salt Lake, I've watched four different billionaires own a piece of Real Salt Lake over the past 6 years. Four primary occupant owners, you know, from Deloy Hansen to David Blitzer to Ryan Smith, who now divested and went and took over the Mammoth and has the Jazz, and now the Miller Sports Entertainment Group. That's the future. I mean, that's just what it is. It's monopoly money being spent. So for Craig Weibel, the challenge is to build the best, quote-unquote, and I use this terminology lovingly, the best U.S. men's national team January camp you possibly can. And that meant going out and getting Jesus Ferreira and Paul Arriola and continuing to lean into the development. Obed's obviously a big loss, you know, and I don't know how deep you want to get into, you know, guys like Georgie Manungo or Josh Atencio or even those type of guys, but they've had to do their business differently. And then they're just unfortunately bit by a horrific injury bug, unlike anything I've ever seen. So the inability to go in and invest significant sums of money in your roster. Pedro de la Vega, perpetually injured, is still horrible for that kid. He just can't even get on the field to stay fit. And then the run of form right now is as historic and horrific for Brian Smetzer as we've ever seen. So it's difficult to see them getting back on track, but if they get healthy, this is also the same team that was undefeated first six games of the season. To your point about Sebastian Berhalter, I'm unapologetic. I love him.
Yeah,
I think
too.
I'm so unlike Michael Bradley, who for some reason never got the respect he deserved, in my humble opinion. And it could have been a Bob thing. It could have been an idea of nepotism, whatever. The fact that Sebastian has completely divested and shed any conversations about his dad, either as a player or as national team manager, I think is brilliant. He's a great kid. He's an even better player. And Vancouver seems to be a great landing spot for a lot of guys in their second or third opportunity to kind of renegotiate the way that we look at them being as players. So huge, huge loss. I think Jasper said something along the lines of, it's not about the physical side because he created his own engine room. It's more about the mentality that he brought every day. And I think sometimes that's very, very, very difficult. That becomes a very interesting leadership and performance power vacuum that is sometimes hard to recreate over the course of the middle of the season.
Yeah, Sebastian, in that famous Belgium loss, a lot of lack of effort in that game, not from that kid. He'll be missed in MLS for sure, but Hopefully we see him in a USA uniform. He's Brian Dunseth of MLS Apple TV. Say hi to Max for us, and a little bit of news and notes being reported from the local media that Brandon Bai has, in fact, torn his ACL.
It looked bad.
Non-contact stuff's always bad. Well, thanks, Brian. Yeah. Again, give Max our love. We love him and you guys as well, and have a great weekend, okay?
Appreciate you. Have a good one.
Take care, buddy. That's Brian Dunseth of MLS Apple TV. Lot to digest from that. We'll take a quick break. We'll get back on the clock. We'll kind of react to some of that more next on 105.1, your home of the Portland Timbers, The Fan. Good stuff from Brian Dunseth, and he gets to hang out with Max Bretto, so he's got a better job than any of us, so I'm jealous of him, and I want to thank him for jumping on the show. We'll get back a little on the clock. Just a little bit of reactions from that. Again, the news, really, the big breaking news coming out of training today, being reported by Adam Sussman, who does great work for us here, and his own stuff. You should definitely check out his content. It's for my money, it's some of the best content out there, if not the best, when it comes to your Portland Timbers. He is reporting that it was confirmed by Marti Cifuentes that Brandon Bai's got a torn ACL. I believe it's his left knee. It stinks for him. He's been a solid stalwart there at right back. That leaves with no Juan Mosquera. That leaves it Eric Miller, most likely to start on Saturday. Look, next guy up mentality is kind of the thing you say, but boy, losing Brandon Bai is a real tough one. He tore his ACL 2 years ago, so now he'll have both of them repaired.
The second ACL since 2023.
Yeah, and he's over 30. He's over 30, so T's and P's up to Brandon Bai. I do. There's a really interesting text on the text line that I do want to get to, and we're just going to push a bunch of stuff around. And I'll get to that next. I'll tease this up for you. It's a serious question. I know maybe with contracts it works better to be on Premier League schedule, but isn't watching soccer in the summer better than going versus football in America? I'm not sure of what the schedule is. I could look it up, but how will teams like Minnesota play and draw fans when it could be winter weather? Or does the Premier League end in fall and only stopped because of the World Cup? That's an excellent question. I'll walk you through all that. We'll do that next for Web Gems, everybody's favorite. 105.1 The Fan. All right, this is everybody's favorite Web Gems. Do it every single day at 11:45. Coming up in the big nooner, we'll talk a little bit of fifth years in college sports. If they could just figure this out. You will have a chance to vote in the Heisman plus closing arguments. But more importantly, at the top of the big nooner, Casey and I will unveil our attire for Danny Morang's wedding on Sunday. I'm feeling pretty good about it. I'm pretty good at tying a tie. Are you good at tying a tie?
I got good at it the last few years.
Yeah. So, spoiler alert, there are ties.
There are ties.
We are wearing ties because we are fancy around here. But Web Gems today is brought to you by a little crossover from this last conversation. This listener texted in, I know maybe with contracts it works better to be on a Premier League schedule, but isn't watching soccer in the summer better than going versus football in America? And it's really funny that you asked that, the timing of that, because Brandon Sprague and I were actually texting about that yesterday. Brian Dunseth mentioned this. Jake Zivin and I have gone on about this. Any person that I have talked to, Fletcher Johnson, Max Bretos, you name it, Kalen Kyle, you name whoever's been on this program, we've asked over the year about that. It is important to get in the same timeline as everybody else. The Premier League, most everybody in the world, their season starts in August. In fact, the Premier League starts today at noon. Arsenal reigning champs, they'll take on Coventry at noon. That they go throughout the entire winter and their season ends in mid-May. Champions League is sprinkled throughout then, and their final is usually around Memorial Day. It's kind of after the regular season has ended. And most leagues around the world do the same thing. To get online with that allows you to be in these situations where if you do find out that Brandon Bias torn his ACL, it lines you up at the same time that everybody is looking to sell and or buy their players. Otherwise, you're doing three times the work of anybody else simply because your season is different. Now, the conversation about MLS versus NFL is, I know what you're getting at, and college football, and that's the convo Brandon and I had via text. I get it. I get it completely. And something that I said to Brandon was, it's going to be very difficult for the MLS to grow when they do go up against the NFL and college football. Now, there is a break that the MLS is going to take in mid-November into January because, to use Minnesota as this texter uses as an example, you do not want to play MLS regular season games in Minnesota in December. I've seen a U.S. men's national team game in Colorado, and it was dumping snow. You don't want that. It snows sometimes in Premier League games, but very rarely. But it can be cold and rainy, and they play throughout the whole year. As much as I think it will stunt the growth of the MLS to put them up against the NFL and college football, something, again, another unfortunate reality is a lot of MLS fans aren't NFL fans.
That's where I think that it will work out.
The Venn diagram doesn't quite overlap. And so now what excites me is in February on a Saturday, I can catch Liverpool at United at 9:30 on a Saturday and then get to Providence and see the Timbers versus LAFC at 7:30.
Or say you have a bad, I guess, if you're an SEC fan and your team goes and plays the Citadel this weekend.
Right.
Then I get the opportunity to go, okay, I'm going to go watch my Timbers play on Saturday, and Sunday I still get my NFL. So you're either doubling up or you're picking one.
Yeah, I kind of the question I asked him, let's see, a late February, March, April end of MLS season game. And his response was that Super Bowl NBA trade deadline NBA playoffs. So it's like, I think people, and this is not, I'm not doxing or throwing grief shade at Sprague by any means, but that was part of the conversation, is that American sports fans are going to find that other thing in more traditional American sports to cling on to. Because I asked him, I said, what about, let's see, would you watch Louisiana versus USC on a Saturday in September at night instead of a Timbers game on the road against a team battling for similar playoff position? He asked, is that the only college football game on? And I said, no, later you'll get Arkansas at Utah. Definitely college football.
I think I lean in the football camp as well.
And that's the situation. And I was like, Arkansas is picked dead last in the SEC. They are not going to be very good. They're not going to be good at all. His response was, Utah beating Arkansas would be huge for Morgan Scalley and really draw eyeballs about the SEC. While he's not wrong in any way, shape, or form, I hear that and go, there will always be a reason to choose the football over football. And maybe the MLS looks at it and says, you know what? We can't win that battle, so let's not try.
So let me just get in the slice of the pie. When people start switching off of games, let's hope that we're the team in the game that they switch on to.
Mm-hmm. And to this texter's point, Major League Soccer already takes place at the same time as the NFL. It just depends on when you want them to cross over, the beginning of the season or the end of the season during your playoffs. I like the move to align with Europe. And I'm kind of that way, too, because let me tell you what, man, after the Super Bowl in February, sure, I like a lot of college basketball, but nobody really watches until the tournament. Does March NBA really get me going? Not yet. We're getting close for sure.
We're getting there.
We're getting there. And maybe that's because I live here and the Blazers can be a struggle over the last decade in
but
that
again,
time.
The Atlanta Hawks won and did not lose in the entire month of February this past year. Well, they lost to the team that won the NBA final.
Yeah. So I still
what
think
really tell me.
Yeah, I still think you can sprinkle in. It just depends on if you want. And to use someone like Brandon, not Sprague specifically, but someone like that, you have to choose if it's worth your time. And if it's not worth your time, it's not worth mine to sit here and try to convince you that it is. I'll ask the questions. Would you rather watch Louisiana, the University of Louisiana versus USC on a Saturday night with nothing else really going on? If your answer is yes, and Arkansas at Utah, which is going to be an extremely bad bloodbath if you're an Arkansas fan. If your answer is yes, then there's nothing I can say to move you that way. I'm just not going to change your mind. Yeah. As
I think that's just kind of the stance that the MLS is really taking. Mm-hmm. Is I'm not here to change your mind. I'm just here to give you the other option. I think that's where the MLS wants to be.
Mm-hmm. I love this comment on the YouTube. American football fans aren't going to watch MLS over their sport regardless. The only way MLS is going to get more eyeballs is if the on-field product is better, and the change does that. And that was Sprague's point in our text as well. He was like, Americans want to watch the best. And until it can be the best, then it's going to be hard for that crossover. Mm-hmm. Now, the good news is this will help the on-field product get better. By getting in line with everybody else. It will. But again, if you're not going to watch, I can't sit here and convince you to do it. And I'm not going to try. I will give you reasons. I will give you ideas. I will challenge you. But I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to say, oh, you're the problem with this because you just want to watch bad football. Blah, blah, blah. No, man. It's the truth. Football's king.
Especially here.
Football's king. But my challenge to everybody, when it comes to that Louisiana USC game, Arkansas Utah, flip over. You know, if Utah goes up 21-0 in the first quarter, do you really need to watch Arkansas for the SEC eyeballs, for Morgan Scali? Like, do you really need to flip over, watch the Timbers? They're taking on Dallas, looking at the 5 or 6 seed, who gets home field, who doesn't. You know, that's my challenge. And if you don't want to, then don't.
And every game has implications if you want to highlight them.
Mm-hmm.
But which implications do we care about more?
Yeah.
And that's going to change week to week.
Yeah. The product will get better. But to Dunce's point, as we were talking about, you can't lose guys like Sebastian Berhalter, especially Americans. If you've developed Americans in the MLS, you got to keep them here. And look, I understand if you're Ned, if you're Merritt Paulson over at the Timbers, if somebody comes in and wants $12 million for Kevin Kelsey, $15 million, you have to take it. It sucks. It stinks. Because the only way the MLS is going to get better if they say no and keep Kevin Kelsey, mm-hmm, and let him be a striker here for a decade. Unfortunately, that's not where they are yet. I believe they'll get there. The schedule change is the first step. Ready to put some clothes on?
Let's do it.
Danny Meringue's getting married on Sunday. And Casey and I have decided what we're going to wear. And we'll bring that to you next. Big Nooner.